Boys, put down your utensils. I want to talk to you about something real quick. If there's anything that you want to talk about, any kind of secrets, now's the time to put it on the table, okay? And if you tell me, we're not going to do that.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
I went to the petting zoo and I let the goat lick my
butt. That
I know, honey. Promised you wouldn't get mad, okay? They're being honest.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
One time I put a firefly in my butt.
Why?
To make my farts glow.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
I touched myself to Drew Carey on the bus, right?
God. Okay, that's enough. Stop, please.
The Fan.
Hey, let's do this. Final hour. Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Hope you had a great weekend, everybody. Welcome back in.
Awful announcing tweeted. Let's check in on ESPN, and the graphic is, what is Dak Prescott's legacy right now?
I actually had that coming up at 8:15. What is Dak Prescott's legacy right now? Also, how do the Lakers win a title with Luka next year? That will be the final hour of our show.
We can also laugh at ESPN while acknowledging we did talk a half hour about Orlando Magic trade ahead of the Finals.
We did. The NBA Finals is going on, and we talked about a trade for 45 minutes of Desmond Bane.
And I know you keep saying it that way, but I do find the whole small market team building thing fascinating.
That angle of it's interesting.
We're that team. We're a small market team.
Don't forget. We also spent a good 15 minutes arguing who was the best linebacker. Lou Kuechly, Patrick Willis, or Bobby Wagner.
Most of that 15 minutes was off-air, not on-air.
Yeah, there was a lot of off-air debate that continued. That got us going a little bit. Did we see Stephen A. Smith playing solitaire at Game 4 of the NBA Finals?
What?
You didn't see this?
Yeah, it's a bad photo.
This is a thing.
It's a bad photo.
Well, is it during a timeout, though?
No. During the fourth quarter of the game, somebody was sitting behind the desk of where ESPN was located for their live show, took a screenshot of him staring down at his phone during the game playing solitaire. And they're like, this is the guy that comes up with the hot takes for $10 million a year? This is the guy? And then he tried to defend himself and saying it was during a timeout.
But
there was video of it not being during a timeout. So. There was that. This came out over the weekend, too. It's only a matter of days until this is all announced.
And yeah.
That's why the Grant Rice thing to me a week or two ago, whenever that was at least somewhat relevant, because it tells you that the media deal is done, it's signed, and now once that's done, you're going to add the extra teams.
Which I would assume at that point they knew the extra team, which was
part of
that
part of the negotiation.
So it was like, okay, well, wait.
So it feels like all of this stuff is close to at least being crystallized, which would be exciting because then at least you know the answers to a question that many people have been pondering for Pac-12 fandom, and that is, what's the media deal? How much money are you going to make? And who are the other teams that you're adding to the conference? Because we all know that you need one more football member.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Bonagura and I think it was Adam Rittenberg, maybe.
Nope.
Or no.
Thamel.
Pete Thamel, thank you. Came out with a piece on ESPN yesterday with the latest intel on what's going to happen. And according to ESPN sources, the overwhelming heavy favorite to be extended a formal invitation, a.k.a. it's going to happen, to the Pac-12. Texas
drum roll.
Texas State, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah,
baby.
Texas State,
who, by the way, last year was a player or two away from beating Big 12 champion Arizona State in non-conference.
You're damn right they were.
You remember that game?
Late night game,
it was
right?
Super controversial.
Yeah,
Dillingham was pissed. He wanted time back on the clock. They kicked a game-winning field goal, I believe, if I'm not wrong. They almost pulled off an upset over a team who played in the college football playoff.
Yeah.
And damn near beat Texas.
Look, let's get to the Texas State stuff. I want to highlight something. This is one blurb, and it should not be overlooked whatsoever, which is kind of setting up where I come from on this. I'm excited to have a Texas school involved.
Yeah.
We'll see what Memphis is going to... I guess Memphis is back in play now.
Memphis is looking... According to this, Memphis is appearing as potentially a football-only member.
Which is a bummer because, damn it, if you could have got basketball.
Yeah.
You'd be a powerhouse here.
I think the fear for them is the...
The travel.
The travel with the lower expenses
totally
year in and year out. So they would join the Big East, I think, for all their other sports.
Which,
and they'd get to play hoops in the Big East.
That's a great hoops conference. This is in the Thamel Bonagura piece. Finances from a new TV deal are expected to be below what the league's consultants pitched schools initially.
Yeah. I mean,
TV deal, ESPN reported schools were shown projected revenue from a TV deal north of $10 million, but conditions have changed. I would just say this. I'm now expecting about 9 to 8.9 because if Thamel's going on ESPN.com and writing about it, I would tend to lean that he knows the ESPN part of that deal is not very much. We know the CW part of that deal is not going to be that much. And so all the CBS, whoever the hell else is involved in that media deal, because it's probably going to be 3 to 4 entities, this is kind of the, hey, it's nice we got a football conference that can be included in a conversation now, but this is going to highlight the difficulty of me getting really over my skis about college football for an Oregon State. Is that money doesn't look very good.
No, it's not going to be good. And that's a disappointing part of this. There's no doubt. I don't know if Memphis in football changes that equation at all. Probably not.
Probably
maybe
not.
You get a couple extra pennies maybe on the back end of the deal. I think the key for them will always be you have to make sure that you are the best group of five conference year in and year out, because there's a massive payout that comes from making the college football playoff.
Sure.
And that automatic bid is still on the line, whether it's Oregon State, Washington State, Boise State, doesn't matter who it is. But you got to have one of those teams in the mix every year making the playoff, because then there's a financial windfall that can come at the end of the year that helps overcome a little bit of that. From just a football standpoint, I will say Texas State is obviously not the biggest deal in the world. They were an FCS team, I want to say, until 2012 is when they joined this. I think they were in the WAC for a year, then they joined the Sun Belt, and they did literally nothing for basically a decade until the last 2 years. And they've clearly invested a lot. They've made back-to-back bowl games. And I think a lot of this, if you were the Pac-12 looking for that final football school, if you weren't going to do one of these all-in, let's go get, you know, all of these teams, Tulane and Memphis and, you know, all these teams from the Southeast that had been rumored potentially to come out and join, and you were looking for somebody a little bit closer to home, you're essentially buying stocks, right? Like, you're trying to find a stock that you're buying at a cheap price that you think can turn into something bigger than what it actually is. And that's where I do like the move for Texas State, because over the last couple of years,
oh, I get it for Texas
they've
State.
Invested a ton in football. Yep. They got, you know, a huge enrollment. It's in the state of Texas.
They care a lot.
It's the religion down there. It gets you in, and from a recruiting standpoint, into that state to say, well, you can go play games back in your home state. I think that helps you tremendously. And so while they've been kind of a middling and under the radar Sun Belt team for a long time, actually relatively bad for the first 10 or so years of their existence, they've invested a ton of money the last couple of years. There's a lot of money involved in that university, and they're clearly heading in that direction. And so from that, just from a football angle, I do like the addition of Texas State, who seems to be a team that would be a good stock buy for you in the long run.
I tend to agree with everything you just said. I think the only difficult part is what the finances ultimately end up being with that TV deal. And then also, Texas State isn't coming in as some easy pushover.
No.
Texas State is
damn near beat Arizona State last year.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm not saying every year that team is going to get better and better. They're going to have some down years once in a while, but it's already not going to be an easy conference for the defending Pac-12 champions to keep reigning in. All right? It's going to be a difficult task as we move forward. I think San Diego State, whether with this coach or the next coach, San Diego State's eventually going to be back into the fold.
For sure.
They should be in the conversation. If they're not, it's going to be that Arizona, why aren't they better conversation that we tend to have. But Boise's going nowhere. And now you got Texas State. It's a little bit of an uphill climb. And making the playoff is ultimately what matters the most. But if it's not my team, I also don't care about that revenue that much.
Yeah, I mean, it helps you financially, but
it does.
Sure,
it helps them. Internally, it's great for them. They would be ecstatic
about
that. It's
good for the university.
As a fan, I don't know how much that's really going to change the circumstance. But maybe it helps baseball stay what it is.
Yeah.
Maybe it improves the basketball program in, God, any kind of way, because it's just an irrelevant thing right now outside of the women's game. So, you know, there are ways where it's a positive. For me as a fan, football-wise, it's like, meh.
Yeah, the years where you don't make it as the Group of Five champion, which I think will be few and far between, but who knows, maybe I'm wrong on that. The years that you don't make it, it's going to be a kick to the nuts, because that's going to be a big part of your
financials.
Maybe
Dan Mullen at UNLV has something to say. Maybe
it's somebody from the Mountain West.
Together.
Yeah, maybe it's Tulane. You never know who it could be. Maybe it's somebody from the – I don't know. But in those years, it will hurt a ton. But I'm just – I think you go on the limb of Boise State, who has been very relevant and good for a very long time, and two former Power Five, like Washington State and Oregon State, I know they're going through coaching changes and new coaches, and we got to find out how those guys are going to be. The bro from South Dakota State, and obviously Trent Bray only in year one. But you're talking about two teams who were relevant at least at times in the Pac-12. And so I think you will be the best Group of Five conference, but not making the playoff will be a huge financial kick in the nuts for you. When is this announced? I don't know, but based on the reporting on it, I think it's only a matter of days until we find this out. I do think Memphis as a football-only school would be pretty cool, too. Get one more team in there.
I agree with that. I think Memphis is a good program, yeah.
over the last 20 or so years.
The pride of Dan Lanning.
The pride of Dan Lanning.
That logo's on his body.
And Mike Norvell, the Memphis logo is on his body. And they got a cool stadium. It's a cool place to go visit. Like, if you're an opposing fan to go, if you want to go travel somewhere, Memphis would be a cool game to go to. So that would make it would suck to not have them in hoops. But it does seem like, at least, and I know that a lot of Beaver fans, yourself included at times, roll your eyes at this. And I don't blame you at all. It's been a long couple of years for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
At least having the answers would be nice. Of just like, all right, we don't have
to. At least know what it is.
We know what the financials are. We know who's in our stupid conference. Yep. We know who we're going to play every year. Like, all right, at least that's settled.
Right.
And now we'll see how it plays out over the next couple of years. But I do think there's a nauseating factor of it, just as a story that won't go away.
I'm ready for it to be done so we can move on to the stuff that I do care about.
This will be your conference schedule every year. Now you know. This is where your games will be on TV. Now we know. And so hopefully
Texas State could be a destination, too, for fans that want to go to a...
Where is Texas State in Texas? Do you know the answer to that?
I know it's a big party school.
It is a big party school?
It's number one, I believe. They're like the Wildcats. It's
number one party school?
I believe so. It's them or Arizona State.
It's San Marcos, Texas.
San Marcos. Where is San Marcos? Can somebody...
Give me a second here.
Somebody put that on the map for me.
It's by a river.
San Marcos.
That would be correct.
This says the San Marcos campus is located midway between Austin and San Antonio.
That's a good spot.
I bet you I've... I wonder if I've driven through it then, because I drove from San Antonio. Oh, I drove from Austin. No.
I've never been to San Antonio.
Yeah,
or
I drove from Austin to San Antonio.
Is nice.
I wonder if I drove right through it and had no clue.
You probably did.
Yeah.
You passed through future Pac-12 member Texas State.
Highway 35 would actually make the most sense, so I bet you I did drive right past it.
So that's a good little spot, though, if you are going, because then you could fly into Austin.
Yeah.
Spend a couple of days in Austin.
Yep.
Drive down for the game.
Mm-hmm.
And then fly out. You can even fly out of San Antonio if you want. How long is a drive from Austin to San Antonio?
Two hours, I believe.
Oh, it's only about 2 hours? That's not
bad. It's not that long.
Okay.
And San Antonio's probably the cheaper flight spot, honestly.
You time it right. You get a Blazer game in San Antonio.
Ooh,
and
you get
a late season game at Texas State.
See Wemby. See your Beavs. Stop by for some live music in Austin, and you fly your ass home. That's a good little trip right there.
Maybe you time
river.
It really well. You get a Spurs-Blazer game in during a weekend, and then there's like a mid-afternoon Longhorn game. You drive up to Austin. You eat after. You drive to Texas State for some Pac-12 after dark.
Yeah.
Oregon State at Texas State.
They said, Texas State is a joke of an ad. Let's stop pandering. Like, look, I don't blame you for the opinion.
I think most people that are not Oregon State fans,
That's fine.
I totally see the opinion.
They
just needed another school.
They needed another football member.
This was the worst possible option.
And UNLV doesn't seem to be willing to leave the Mountain West, which I think will be something they regret as the years go on. I don't know if that's I haven't read that much on it. I don't know if it's a Nevada, UNLV can't be separated kind of conundrum.
Mm-hmm.
I would have taken both of them probably, but UNLV has shown no willingness to join the conference. Memphis doesn't want their non-Olympic sports to join because it's too much money for them to travel for women's volleyball games to come out to Corvallis and Pullman. Football only could make sense, but it's not a guarantee that it happens. So my retort to that is, literally, to exist as a conference, you needed to add somebody else. So who else did you want them to add?
No, I mean, I'm not kidding. I think the person's point is valid. They needed a school. It's not a bad one.
Yeah.
This is random, and I don't want to throw the whole show off. I don't think this would, anyway. How about this from Thamel 19 minutes ago? He just tweeted, going forward, Cal football coach Justin Wilcox will report to general manager Ron Rivera.
Yeah, Ron Rivera's their GM.
I knew that, but what is that report? Did something happen?
It's the new era of college football, man.
I know, but what happened to tweet that out?
We have GMs.
Going forward.
I think their president stepped down. Stepped away, that didn't
Passed
sound right.
away.
He did not pass away. Somebody just left Cal.
But it reads as if Wilcox did something wrong. Going forward, you will listen to your mother.
Yeah, their athletic director just retired.
Okay.
So that's why he said that.
Just worded
checking on that
vaguely
yeah.
and like, oh, what's going on?
We had our first GM fire a football coach. Andrew Luck fired...
Yeah, Taylor.
Taylor at Stanford. That was the first time we'd seen a new college football GM fire a head coach.
Kind of knew that was going that way, given the stuff around Taylor, but also...
Andrew Luck should just be the coach.
Luck is Buster Posey here. He is running that program.
Yes, he is. So it looks like Texas State will be the latest addition, or last, potentially, of the Pac-12. Yeah, I don't blame people for being down on it. I also think that a lot of these things change, man. You know where they love college football? Texas. You know where they're going to spend a lot of money on college football? Texas. So you just added a school from Texas. I think you could have done a lot worse.
Hmm.
And we'll see how it plays out long term. And when we finally get the announcement from the Pac-12. We're back after this. Still got to get to Game 5 of the NBA Finals. The Beavs are in action in the College World Series. Back after this on The Fam. All right, welcome back in. 8:19. Well, Texas State might be a joke to some people. You know who's not a joke? The Beaver baseball program. They're in the College World Series, Bob.
Yeah, they've had a great year. That was really unfortunate, the start to that game, which Will Ortner spoiled for me because I was recording the game.
Oh, he did yesterday, huh?
Yeah, it was
Who
out.
Who records games anymore?
Somebody with two children on Father's Day.
Yeah, I record games quite often.
75 and sunny.
It's an age thing. I do it to Swag all the time. Every time it's on accident. Mm. But I just want to talk sports, man.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like I've gotten to the point now where I don't really get mad about the spoiling, but I do record a lot of stuff to go back and watch it.
I don't either. I'll look up results and then still go rewatch.
Still go watch the game.
I'm not weird like that. It was more so it had just started, and he goes, "Man, bummer of a first inning," and I didn't even think he would bring it up. So I was going to get off the gambling show and go watch. And so
your
I
beeves.
Just went fast forward, and I lived to the third inning, and so I had to go rewatch the first, and I'm like, cool.
Now, I missed the first inning because I was watching the golf, and I was not going to dual screen that thing.
Double. Boom. Bases cleared.
I saw they had two outs, and the guy had a bases clearing double, so that was a bit of a whammy.
One hit, three runs.
That's pretty brutal.
I asked him if it was a bomb. He goes, so you're not watching?
You're not watching the game?
I said, I recorded.
What's the matter with you?
I said, who's recording?
Thought you were a Beaver fan, man. Well, it started on Friday. Again, the weird part about the Friday-Monday thing is that they played another game on Friday that ended in a happier fashion for Beaver fans.
Yeah, but almost heartbreak
almost
again.
Did not. What's up with them booting the ball around? They had three errors. They were farting around in the ninth inning against Louisville on Friday and then came back. And, of course, the timing of it was great. I had a buddy point this out over the weekend. He was like, the commentator said legitimately, I can't remember who hit the walk-off, but whoever did.
Turley.
Yeah. He walks up to the plate and they say, you know, Oregon State's never had a walk-off in their history in the College World Series. And like 2 seconds later, ping, down the left field line. Doc Parker's call of it was great. So you start with this like high elation from nearly a devastating point of blowing a game against Louisville.
You did. You blew the lead. You were 3-1. You blew the lead.
But you won. Doesn't matter. There's no pictures on the scorecard. Win's a win this time of year. You're not facing elimination right out of the gate. Now you are because of that bad start. They take on Louisville again. We get a rematch of the game from Friday night. How are we feeling two games in about our beefs?
Meh.
Like, little up, little down.
It was great for to see them get the walk-off against Louisville, but I'm terrified of Louisville. But Oregon State's just playing sloppy baseball right now, despite having a win. The story of yesterday in that 6-2 result isn't that you got, like, home run after home run given up. It was you can't do, like, basic plays.
Yeah, very simple stuff.
I mean, they had one during Louisville that helped, like, them come back in that ninth where Weber's backing up an awful throw by Arquette, and I thought he was actually fake throwing, but on the replay, he looks like he's trying to gun the runner down at second, and in his back motion,
it just slips.
The ball just flops out of his hand, and he has no idea where it is, so the guy then goes to third, and it's just like they're leading the World Series in errors right now.
They've made a lot of them two games into their World Series run.
Kleinschmidt was really awesome against Florida State. I thought he was not getting enough conversation. I actually thought he out-dueled Florida State starter. And he just, you know, a sloppy start in the first inning, and they start batting it around a little bit. And it's just sloppy baseball. It's nice that they won a game. I'm not giving up on them yet.
Sure.
They can beat Louisville again.
Absolutely.
But now your backs are against the wall, much like it was in your regional. And so we'll see how they respond to it and if they can get Louisville again. But just sloppy, disgusting kind of baseball right now.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. I believe the only team eliminated so far is Arizona. Is everybody else still in the dance?
Yeah. Arkansas played today.
They played today.
To see who's eliminated. Because Arkansas being eliminated in two games, they were the favorite.
Yes,
they were the school that everybody thought, and then LSU beats them, and now here they are, backs against the wall.
They lost their first game. And Murray State lost their first game. So the loser of that game today will be eliminated as well and join Arizona on the sidelines. UCLA and LSU play again, and then the winner of the Arkansas-Murray State game, I believe, will go on and play UCLA-LSU. Is that how it works? Yeah? Sure. Seem confident. So that's where we're at. Arizona's the only team that's been eliminated. Oregon State is off until tomorrow. They played 11 a.m. tomorrow, early start time. They get the earlier game today.
I like it.
The atmosphere on Friday night, I'll give them this, and I think we have a buddy out in Omaha who was there talking about it. I heard him over the weekend. The atmosphere on Friday looked insane. And I don't know if it was just a collection of the opening night. All the fan bases were kind of there, just being excited to be in Omaha, buying their Jell-O shots. It was a little bit more tampered down last night for their game, but that Louisville game...
You thought it was tampered down last night?
It wasn't quite the Friday effect. Like, that place...
Coastal's fans were crazy.
Coastal fans were there.
At the end there,
they totally did. And they made a little comeback there in the ninth inning to try and make it somewhat more interesting. The Friday night game seemed like it was... Like, that was an intense ending, too. Because they blew the lead in the ninth inning, and they came back and won the game in the bottom of the ninth inning. So that was a lot of fun. They play tomorrow facing elimination. Your games today again are Arkansas, Murray State, the winners, and UCLA, or excuse me, the losers, and UCLA and LSU are the losers.
Need to get the, you know, maybe I'll never see it, but want to see one of those like 12 run. I want to see the bats get going a little.
Just
bit.
Just one of those games.
If you're not going
to
be
that Florida State first inning in the final game is what you need again, where you put seven on the board.
Well, and then you end up with what? What do they end up with? 14 in that one?
I think 14 in the game.
So
yeah.
Like, I'd love to see one of those. It'd be nice, especially if you're going to commit this many errors.
Be nice to wake up the offense a little bit. So Oregon State's World Series run underway. They've played two games so far, and their next game is tomorrow. Will we continue to watch if they get eliminated tomorrow?
I'll keep an eye.
Keep an eye?
It depends on the matchups.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. See who's still in the mix. Murray State, Coastal Carolina.
Well, as many people know, Coastal won this thing in 16.
Everybody
right?
is. Everybody remembers that. Everybody remembers their title run in 2016.
Where were you moment? Yeah.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
I'll never forget where I was.
When the Chanticleers won a national title, it was a big deal.
But they are, I mean, they're impressive to watch. Despite them only, you know, what getting the one earned run or what have you, like, they're pretty impressive, man.
They are.
That team, they just...
They are.
They feel it. And we'll see what LSU does. It really just depends on the matchups.
Yeah, I'm probably out if Oregon State loses, I'll be honest with you. But we'll see how far they can make it. That pitcher for Coastal Carolina tonight was the balls, dude. He was good. That dude's a stud. They had the graphic up, I think it was Morrison, his last name.
Did you hear him say he probably made some money for himself tonight? I bet he did.
I bet he did, dude. 109 pitches. Like, he went all the way until the eighth inning. He had two outs, I think, in the eighth inning. Couldn't quite get the full eight innings in. Had a little traffic. And then that catch along the right field wall. I know it was, 6-1 at the time, so maybe it doesn't make a huge difference, and it was a foul ball. But that catch to end the inning was pretty awesome for Coastal Carolina. They were making plays. So there is your College World Series breakdown. You got anything to add, Will Ortner?
I'd like LSU to go far. Livy Dunn's there. The more that they win, the more that she'll stick around.
Is she there the entire time?
She said Omaha is her favorite sporting
event. I know she was at their opener. Yeah.
Event to be at. Like, that's her favorite thing.
But this goes on for like a week and a half, right? She's just hanging out in Omaha for
what
a week and a half?
What else is she going to do?
I mean,
she
Skeens can is going to start a game at some point. Yeah. She's not going to go to a Skeens
She's
start?
Not going to go fly out to Pittsburgh and watch him pitch?
He just started like this weekend, and she was in Omaha. She doesn't care.
They destined to be lovebirds forever.
Yeah. Is that like a pay thing? You think college baseball or ESPN are paying her to be there?
Someone is.
I mean, LSU.
Someone
That'd actually
is.
Be a really smart investment.
I mean, if she's on TV, according to Will Ortner, people will watch. So...
Guaranteed.
That's a decent.
Will Ortner is telling me he'll watch if Livy Dunn is on the screen.
Decent way to get eyeballs to the TV. Having
Looking
Livy Dunn
into
there.
Right now, myself.
Yeah. There you go.
Flying out to Omaha. So we'll see. Go Beavs. We'll see if they win tomorrow. We'll have more on that game tomorrow. Should we get our Louisville guy back on tomorrow? You want a rubber match? Rubber match daily ticker. Get him on again. What do we know? I don't know. We were at a bar on Friday, getting ready to go to the Timbers game, and that game was on. And we had a coworker who was rooting aggressively for Louisville. Just to rub it in the face.
Duck
a coworker
fan rooting
here?
For Louisville. Yeah.
A coworker Chuck. Here. Chuck was rooting Chuck. For Louisville.
He kept screaming, go Louisville. He slammed the table
he
with
did,
his big
yeah.
mitt.
He was,
he's got that big Midwestern paw.
He does. He's got big bear hands.
He didn't go to Louisville?
No.
No, he's a Duck fan.
He didn't even know the proper way to say Louisville.
Yeah.
Did he go to Oregon?
I think so. Maybe.
At this point, I don't know who actually went to Oregon and who didn't.
I think I'm calling Bush League on that. I don't think you get
no,
to be
mean.
No,
he's a diehard Duck fan.
No. I think I'm calling Bush League. You don't get to root hard for Louisville if you're not a Louisville fan.
He was trolling me.
It was just a troll of
spring. He's just trolling. He wasn't literally like caring about
this
Louisville.
Was a bar over by Providence, so there's a lot of Timbers fans there getting ready to
Our
go to the game.
Our friends at Ten Barrel.
And after the game was over, or the baseball game was over, Chuck is a big Timbers guy. You know, we're just, whatever, you know, we support our city. We're, you know, we're rooting for the Timbers when we're at the game, but I don't live
go
and die with the outcome.
Timbers.
You know.
Just got murdered.
And an entire, like, just full, a bar full of Timbers people, Sprague, not realizing he was, again, in a bar full of Timbers people.
And it had quieted down right
quieted
in this
down,
moment. For some
right
reason.
In this moment, quiet bar, pretty full. Again, a lot of Timbers fans yells out a, go San Jose, Timber sucks, something along those lines. And everybody in the bar turned around and looked at him.
Dude,
and
I thought, got all the eyeballs.
Are we going to get in a fight right now? Did we start a fight in a bar?
I actually had a green T-shirt underneath because I knew they were wearing the green and the
gold.
Yeah.
And I looked around and the people right next to us at our table, because it was one of those big tables, looked at us. I look over at the bar and the whole bar scene just looking at me. And I'm like,
calm down over
there. I'm just kidding. I'm a Timbers fan. I'm just kidding.
How'd they lose Sprague? Well, he got angry at Chuck at a bar, so he started rooting for San Jose.
He was rooting for the Earthquakes, man. That'll do it to you. The Timbers bar is going to get you in a little bit of trouble. So that happened on Friday. Go Beavs. We'll see if they win tomorrow. We'll talk about that as well. Let's get to Game 5 of the NBA Finals. Does the series tilt back in one direction or the other? Does OKC have the momentum? We're back in Oklahoma City now. We'll get to that. Game 5 of the Finals next. But first, here's us with a FUPdate.
Well, Will Ortner did give us some big news in that last segment. It's only a few weeks away. American hero Joey Chestnut is returning to the hot dog eating contest.
Can we not?
Throw some glizzies down our gullets?
The goat, dude.
The goat's back.
No one cares!
The goat is back on the 4th of July.
What happened to his vegan dog Netflix thing?
I think he's still doing that, but he's claiming...
Didn't they not allow him to do it, though? Because they have to be specifically with Nathan's?
He said, those relationships were never of conflict with my love for hot dogs. To be clear, Nathan is the only hot dog company that I've ever worked with, and I respect that there were differences in interpretation, but I'm grateful we've been able to find common ground.
I'm just like, can we get over the Joey Chestnut thing?
He said, it's a cherished tradition in a celebration of American culture.
What are we going on now? 15 years of just this guy scarfing wieners down? Like, can we get literally anything else?
Let me see how many years in a row he's won.
I'm tired of Joey Chestnut being the only name that we bring up on July 12th.
Well, somebody's got to challenge his greatness until we do. That's what we need.
This is why
it used to be Kobayashi, and then Joey Chestnut came in and said, get out of here.
It's overrated
like American
at this point.
Hero.
Nobody wants to watch this guy.
He lost to Matt Stoney in 2015.
Yeah, it's 2025. It was a decade ago.
So he won from 2007 to 2014.
And then lost 1 year and
lost
then hasn't lost
one
sense.
Year.
Okay.
And then regained his reign atop every year since 2016.
I'm kind of tired of it. Like, we get it, dude. You can eat a lot of hot dogs. Get over yourself. You're not even eating a hot dog properly, by the way. You're eating just the wiener, and then you're dunking your bread so it just dissolves. That shouldn't count. Eat a hot dog like a normal human being, and then I'll be impressed. I'm tired of watching these people put 5 wieners in their mouths and then basically borderline choke themselves to death just so they can get off the stage, yak it all up in a bucket.
I don't eat the wiener.
And, you know, act like they really
don't.
Dude,
I could choke down
dogs.
6 of those easily.
Eat a real hot dog like a human being does, and then give me what that number is. This whole dipping into a cup thing, it's a little overrated.
We could do it here at the Fan. I mean, we could do it the correct
way. I've tried
way.
6 hot dogs during the show. I've done it. I mean, you know, we're welcome to...
See, that's the thing,
I'll
Will.
Take you on, man.
Another
Let's
hot dog
go.
Eating
Are
contest.
You going to eat like Chestnut or like a normal person?
I would eat like a normal person, if those were the rules.
I raw dogged them. I didn't put any sauce on them, but I also
I
like
do
raw dog
either.
Hot dogs.
Yeah, I don't do sauce either. Yeah. Maybe a little bit of mustard. But that's about it.
I like a loaded dog. Give me some mustard, some
See,
relish,
this is your
some
problem.
Kraut,
this is why you
onion.
Can't take down 87 of them.
I don't want to.
You got too much stuff on there.
You know who else doesn't? Joey Chestnut's stomach. He quite literally tells him, nope, too much. Get out of here.
Yeah, you got to, in order to be the champ, you got to beat the champ. So until somebody knocks off Joey Chestnut, he's going to be in your life
well,
every
why
year.
Why is this still a story? It's Joey Chestnut in the field, and everybody just takes Chestnut and he wins.
That time of year, Bob. It's that time of year.
No, it doesn't need to be that time of year. I would rather talk about Dak Prescott's legacy than Joey Chestnut.
Would you really?
Yes.
What would you rather do a segment on, Joey Chestnut or Dak Prescott's legacy?
Whose legacy is more impactful?
What's the better segment? Dak Prescott.
I think it's Dak Prescott.
Where does he fit in the pantheon of NFL quarterbacks?
Did you see the Dallas coach come out and say, we're going to win so much that my assistants are going to get stolen? Buddy, you haven't coached a game.
I did see that. His dad did, though. His daddy won a lot of games.
Not in the playoffs.
No, not in the playoffs. No,
his name's synonymous with choking, which is what Joey Chestnut borderline does on those hot dogs.
But he doesn't. But he finishes those dogs.
It's ridiculous.
He's the greatest of all time.
It's ridiculous.
And he's back for another run. I'm with you, Ortner. I can't wait.
We're going to watch.
Can't wait for the 4th
might
of July.
Even TiVo it.
I'm going to record it because I might be out doing something. I'm going to record it and watch him eat all those hot
dogs. I'm going to be at my parents' house, so I will be able to
record it. I'm going to eat along at home.
You're not going to watch.
I'm going to be throwing doggies in my
mouth. I know you. You're going to be golfing.
Throwing doggies in my mouth.
And you're only going to do it so you can go on some BetMGM network show and say, I have Chestnut under 68.5 dogs. I cashed that ticket at 7-1. That's the only reason you're going to watch it.
You know me way too well because that's a 100% what I'm going
to
do.
You get more on air time, and you get to be the guy that said, I told you so at good odds. Other than that, you wouldn't care. But nobody watches this.
Quit throwing out my playbook,
people watch, but they don't.
People watch.
What was the viewership last year?
Let me pull it up.
What if it has higher ratings than the finals?
That would actually... I will suspend myself for a week if that's accurate.
If that's the... yeah, that would be pretty bad.
If you tell me 10 million people watched this dude scarf down all of those dogs, I'm going to be so upset.
Let's see here.
I mean, I've already kind of lost hope. I will lose more hope.
Highest rated broadcast was in 2014. They got basically 3 million viewers in 2014.
Three million losers.
Yeah.
3 million losers.
Millie.
Hold on.
What are you doing?
I'm trying to find this. I want to know this. The broadcast drew last year 900,000 viewers.
But no Joey Chestnut last year.
He was barred from competing.
So they're getting UFL viewership numbers?
They had small market teams in last year.
Yeah, they did.
I mean, that's like as many people as watched the MLS final.
Don't do that.
They're beating the MLS?
Stop.
I mean, I'm just saying.
Was it paywalled, though?
Was the final paywalled?
I don't think... Maybe?
Could have been. Buying Apple TVs?
I don't know.
You stop it. Don't poo-poo the soccer in the midst of us poo-pooing this hot dog eating contest.
I'm just saying, they're on the same level. July 4th hot dog eating contest, MLS championship, are on the same television ratings level.
If you watch somebody at a barbecue, say, dude, I could scarf down 20 dogs.
So to your point of nobody watches, they got as many viewers as soccer.
Okay, double A soccer at best. It's not the Premier League. Second of all, if you watch somebody say they could scarf down 20 to 30 dogs at your barbecue,
yeah,
and then you watched them just take the hot dog and eat it by itself and then dunk bread and shove it, I think you'd be like, that.
I'd be grossed out. I don't want to watch that.
Yeah.
I don't want to watch that.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm with you there. If I have to watch that in person or somebody's doing that at my house, I'm going to kindly ask them to leave. Don't eat hot dogs that way. That's disgusting.
Dunking it in water.
That's absolutely disgusting. did Indiana miss their opportunity to win the finals?
I mean, look, it's easy for me to say yes because I had the Thunder in six, but I'm not going to eliminate completely. It's not 100% yes, but yeah, I feel that way.
Yeah. Game four was their chance.
They had the stranglehold, man.
Yeah.
They had it, and then they didn't. And now here you go back to OKC for game five. Oklahoma City just won, and they shot 18.5% from three.
They need a Halliburton game. He's had moments, I feel like.
But this is kind of in a nutshell who he is. Like,
yeah, he's a good player.
It's
but
what makes him polarizing, Dirt, is he'll have a 13-15-12, a 32-15-12 game, but
right.
He'll also largely give you 20-9.
He's only gone over 20 points once in the finals, and he's barely shooting 30% from three. A lot of that is the credit to Oklahoma City's defense and what they're doing against him. So it's not easy to go out and just say, hey, go drop 30, Halliburton, because it's not an easy thing to do against their defense. But I do feel like this is a big one tonight, just to at least stay competitive. I know they're going to get game six at home no matter what the outcome is tonight. But excited to see it. Indiana, to their credit, man, as many times as I've tried to count them out or tell them they don't have a chance in the series, they come out and win game three at home. They win game one on the road. Like, they found a way to do it repetitively throughout the course of the playoffs, and so we'll see if they can do it again. Some more thoughts on game five. We got a bunch of poll questions to answer. We'll wrap it up on a Monday next on The Fam.
All right,
let's get to the poll questions before we get to...
Oh, I forgot to post one.
The NBA Finals. Okay.
Post. I'll try to post it as you read the results.
Brilliant strategy by the executives of sports to not have a championship game on Father's Day Sunday evening. That was kind of a gaping hole in my life last night. I don't know if you're a Beaver fan, you're watching, but I, you know...
I'd argue better.
Give me U.S. Open into an NBA Finals game or a Stanley Cup Final game. No, I got all day.
I don't want to derail this segment.
All my boxes are checked.
I got to the end of the day and I was show prepping. I was upstairs. Delightful little Father's Day.
Sure.
I was watching Curb.
Yeah.
As I tend to do in my off time when I don't know what to watch.
You just turn on Curb.
And I was watching an episode and then the episode after that was Palestinian Chicken.
Yeah.
Well, it was kind of the back end of that episode, and I was talking to my oldest before I went to bed, and all of a sudden I heard screams, and it was when the woman and Larry and my 9-year-old looked up at the screen.
Yeah, what's going on here?
It was more...
What are they doing?
Yeah, no, it was abundantly clear what they were doing, and my wife did not know this was that episode or that episode existed. And so my daughter just says...
Some very vulgar language in that episode.
Dude, when
very
they're
vulgar
passionately
language.
Getting it on,
yes.
she's making love with a
lot of conflicts going on over there right now. Exactly. So maybe it's a newsworthy episode for her to watch.
As I escort my daughter out, my wife is screaming in horror that this has happened. My daughter goes, "Is she gonna do that to you?" And I was like,
for anybody who's seen that episode, that joke is phenomenal. I don't even know what you respond to that with.
Well, I said, of course not. But in my head, I said, I hope
please,
so.
Please, God. Yeah, it's Father's Day. Help me out a little bit here at the end of the day. Oh, that's great. Which athletes smell the worst while playing? Football players, hockey players, race car drivers, or wrestlers? Your leading answer right now, hockey players, 41.7% of the vote. Wrestlers in second. So hockey players running away with it currently. 24.3% for wrestlers. Then it goes football players, 18.4%, and race car drivers, 15.5%.
I'm still voting race car. Cannot still go race smell car. Good in that car.
Race cars are in last right now. We asked, with the news of Orlando trading Desmond Bane, what do you think will happen with Anfernee Simons in Portland? He'll be extended or he'll be traded? 65.2% of you say he'll be traded. Or excuse me, he'll be extended. So that's kind of a depressing feeling amongst the fan base right now. 34.8% of you do have the hope that he will be traded. And last but not least, we got one more that we just put out. But who was the biggest trade over the weekend? Rafael Devers got dealt to the Giants in baseball. And Desmond Bane to the Magic right now, 68.9% of people are saying Rafael Devers to the Giants.
Somebody said top 10 hitter. Is Bane top 10 anything? Fair.
That's fair, yeah.
Three-point shooter, that's yes, fair. He is.
Yeah, from a percentage standpoint, he's been really good in his career. He's over 40% in his career.
I also just posted another one just now as you, just to settle a off-air, on-air slight conversation. Who at the prime of their career was the better player, Bobby Wagner, Luke Kuechly?
Bobby Wagner, duh.
I'd put Willis on this, but you would probably hate how much the Niner beats the Seahawk in that poll question.
Yeah, that'd be pretty bad.
Longevity is getting
longevity's
downgraded.
Great. I give Wagner a lot of credit.
Yeah. He's getting he was good last year, too, for Washington.
He's the greatest Utah State player to ever play.
No one recognized how great Van Gogh was until he died. It's what you're doing to my guy.
Appreciate greatness while you can.
I think you're making actually an argument for Kuechly because his career was shorter, so like...
He accomplished in such a short amount of time.
Yeah, I think you're making an argument for Kuechly.
Such a high-level player. Consistently.
He's a very good number two for his era. Few were as good as he was, but one was better.
A strong start already on this poll question.
So you can go vote on
most
all those.
Most people are idiots.
At Dirt Sprague on Twitter. We talked about it in the last segment. Game five of the finals is tonight. I'm trying to go into tonight with a just sliver of hope that I have been surprised multiple times already in the playoffs and in this final series with what Indiana's been able to do. Them coming back and winning game one was wildly impressive. And then to turn around and win game three in a situation where after they got blown out in game two, they bounced back. And I know that one was on their home floor. It's easier to do it in that scenario. Mm-hmm. I'm going in with just a sliver of hope that tonight surprises me because my gut is telling me what my gut was telling me for game four. Now, I shouldn't have cashed that ticket, but somehow I did. And so I'm not going to complain about it. My gut is telling me it's an OKC, not blowout, not 30-point blowout, but a consistent 10 to 15-point lead the majority of the night. Probably a slight cover in a game that's, you know, maybe a 14-point win for the Thunder.
I think we're getting a lot of bangs tonight from Breen, and I think it's going to come via Oklahoma City. They shot as poorly as you could and still won a game.
Now they're back at home.
Yeah, what's the line?
9.5 is the line.
That bothers me.
A little
bit
down from where it was in game one, game two. I think it was 10, I want to say, in the first two games
that's
of the series.
That's about what the difference seems to be in this series, is kind of close to that number. Look, I'm holding out some hope that Indiana, the thing that Indiana did that leaves me hopeful, I guess I should frame it this way. I actually thought their two games at Indiana, they played their style of basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to look back on that game four and think we had a real chance to put a stranglehold on this thing. You should still fly back to Oklahoma City despite losing with the kind of confidence that like we got our style of play down. We just need to hit more shots, and we need Halliburton to be a little better.
And we got
to
finish when we got a lead.
You get those things, and I think you can be in okay shape, and maybe you can pull off an upset here because, man, imagine what we're saying if they win tonight and they're going to go back to Indiana for a potential closeout game.
Yes, that'd be wild.
It'd be really wild.
It'd be awesome.
And it's not impossible, but I do kind of think that was a moment, and Oklahoma City tonight,
I hate saying it. I think I lean OKC in that number.
I think I would too. Who's the guy for Indiana? They've had random guys throughout the playoffs that have had big moments in big games. When they won earlier in game three, I think that Mathurin went off. He had 27 in that 27. Game.
McConnell had all the steals.
Yeah. Mathurin followed up his 27 with 14 minutes and making one shot.
Also missed two big free throws
Late in the game, he missed three free throws on the game. Who's the candidate tonight? Who's our pick to click for the Pacers? The random guy that goes off.
I'm gonna go just chalk. Halliburton has to be big in this game. I think Halliburton needs 25 or more for them to pull this off.
Yeah, I like OKC minus 9.5. I hope my gut is wrong on that one. Come on, Pacers. Get one more win. Take this thing with a 3-2 series lead back home. That will do it for us, folks. If you missed any of the show, go check the podcast, 1080thefan.com, at Turton Sprague and at 1080thefan on Twitter. We went to Orlando for the Daily Ticker to talk about, hey, why didn't you want Anthony Simons, and what does Desmond Bane mean for the Magic long term? You can go check those as well. As soon as we're done, we'll post them. That will do it for us, everybody. Thanks for being a part of our Monday. Hope you had a great Father's Day weekend, everybody. Like the video, subscribe to the channel on YouTube if you haven't done so yet. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Colin, it's next. You're listening to 1080 The Fan.